and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Another island-wide blackout has hit Puerto Rico as the largely Catholic residents of the U.S. territory prepare to celebrate Easter. CBS's Chris Benavides is monitoring the situation from Miami.
That means more than 1.4 million customers lost electricity. That happened earlier today, just before 1 p.m. Currently, it's unclear what may have caused this outage, but this is not rare for Puerto Rico. It's expected that it will take many days for electricity to come back to all parts of the island.
The Trump administration appeals a ruling that finds probable cause for criminal contempt over last month's deportation flights. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The finding follows the administration's refusal to follow the judge's order to turn around the planes that were carrying Venezuelan migrants to a prison in El Salvador. While the White House plans to appeal, Loyola law professor Lori Levinson says this is just the beginning.
We are moving closer and very quickly to a real conflict between the courts and the administration.
The judge says the migrants did not receive due process. The White House says the president is protecting the country. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, The White House.
Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen, a Democrat, travels to El Salvador to meet with that country's vice president and discuss the case of mistakenly deported Kilmar Abrego Garcia.
I said I'm not asking him to smuggle Mr. Abrego Garcia into the United States. I'm simply asking him to open the door of CECOT and let this innocent man walk out.
El Salvador's vice president says his government cannot return Garcia and would not allow Van Hollen to visit the prison. Multiple federal health officials tell CBS News that Food and Drug Administration officials have been asked to draw up plans to end routine food safety inspections, outsourcing most of the federal government's oversight work to local and state authorities. CBS's Alexander Tin reports.
Details of how the outsourcing would take place have not been finalized under the Trump administration plan. High-risk food inspections, like for facilities making baby formula and producers overseas, are still expected to be done by the FDA.
The Trump administration is suing Maine's education department for not complying with its goal of banning transgender athletes in girls' sports. Attorney General Pam Bondi.
This is about sports. This is also about these young women's personal safety.
Maine's Democratic Governor Janet Mills responds.
This is about the rule of law. Okay, it's about who makes the laws, which is the legislature and the Congress, and who enforces and executes the laws, which is the chief executive.
California sues to stop President Trump from imposing sweeping tariffs. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
On the next Midday Magazine, we'll spend part one with Visit Rome and part two, UW Extension, Wood County's Anna Mitchell. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
The Brewers beat the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Tigers today 5-1 to take that series against Detroit. Sal Frelick with his first home run of the season. Last night, it was Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah, breaking the ice, there's maybe something to be said for that. Yeah, it's just nice to get rewarded for some quality at-bats.
NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard, slowly making progress from that blood clot in his right leg. Could he be back for the playoffs? Doc Rivers.
Well, I mean, we're hopeful. You know, we're just following the protocols and so we'll see, you know, but we don't know yet.
Badgers head football coach Luke Fickell on the search for a new left tackle after losing Kevin Haywood in spring practice to a torn ACL, out for the year.
You know, now we got to have to figure out how we're going to manage some of that and move some guys around and expect some other guys to step up, whether it's Leighton Nelson and Emerson Mandel and guys like that that got to step in.
That's Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's become an albatross for me. I just wish it was gone. Those are the words of Home Alone 2 Lost in New York director Chris Columbus. He is referring to the 7-second cameo by Donald Trump in the film. Columbus wants the Trump cameo removed from the film, saying it's become a curse and adding that the 47th president bullied his way into the movie, telling the production they couldn't shoot at the Plaza Hotel unless he was in the film. Columbus joked that if he cuts the cameo, he could be deemed not fit to live in America and deported. I think he was joking. Here's a quick pick. The show Mobland on Paramount Plus is pretty good. The Guy Ritchie directed show stars Pierce Brosnan, Helen Mirren, and Thomas Hardy. It's a fast-moving mob caper that doesn't hold back on gang violence. It is shot with Ritchie's classic pacing, so even if there is a moment you get bored with, it's quickly over. I'm 3 episodes in, and we'll keep you posted. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-30s. Then increasing clouds for tomorrow with showers and thunderstorms developing. Breezy with a high in the low 60s. Still some areas of rain and thunder around Friday. Mostly cloudy and a high around 60. Currently 51 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll have Joe Zepecki, our weekly state capitol report, and see how the Brewers are doing after playing 3 at home against Detroit.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Hidney Cup, Indian.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in 4 directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. For more information, please visit littlemomentscount.org.
Yeah, here, you know, us on Native Roots Radio, we're excited to be partnering with Little Moments Count. You know, to host conversations focused on early childhood development, we'll be a welcoming monthly guest to talk about how they view the role of early childhood development in creating bright futures and strong communities. Today with us, we have Doreen Lanoux. Doreen, welcome back. It's great to see you. And can you tell us, our listeners, a little bit about you?
Sure. I'm a member of the Ojibwe Mississippi Band of Minnesota Chippewa, and I've lived on or near White Earth Reservation most of my life, except for when I did leave for college. I am right now serving as an employee at All Nations Rise, and I am the FFN coordinator for an Indigenous FFN network program, and I'm a wife and a mom of 2, and I have 9 grandchildren.
Oh, wow. Hey, you're a real expert here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Hey, can you explain to us what you do in your role in All Nations as the FFN coordinator for the Indigenous Family, Friends, and Neighbor Child Network? Could you explain that, please?
Sure. If I could first introduce who All Nations Rise is briefly.
Yes.
All Nations Rise is a nonprofit agency, and it was started by Indigenous Visioning in 2021 to strengthen tribal communities, both rural and urban. And our mission is to support children and families through a cultural lens to create positive childhood outcomes. So yeah, that's kind of who I work for now. And my role is the FFN coordinator for the Indigenous Family, Friend, and Neighbor Child Care Network.
Wow, so, that's cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, I coordinate a team of A&R employees and consultants for our FFN grant, which is a statewide effort funded by the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. And we provide outreach to FFNs throughout the state who are interested in taking part in networking with us and each other, receiving resources and information in many different areas, including health and safety, early childhood literacy and school readiness, social emotional learning, child development and stages, and very importantly, cultural language tools and knowledge to our FFN.
Wow. Yeah. So you're kind of explaining, can you explain what it means to be a family, friend, or neighbor caregiver? And what is the role and is important for children and communities and parents? So why is this role so important?
So as I mentioned already, FFN stands for Family, Friend, and Neighbor Child Care. And it's really aunties, grandmas, mm-hmm. Neighbors who care for children while the parents work or go to school. And generally, these caregivers care for just a small number of children in their home and are not licensed and many of them do not require licensing or want to become licensed. They do it out of love for the children, of course, and for being a community for these children. And most times they do it free of charge. The reason it's important is because they really do it out of a sense of duty to support the family. Mm. And FFNs are extremely, the bulk of childcare comes from FFNs. And so, as we know, there's a childcare, there's a disadvantage with childcares. There's a shortage of childcare providers and childcare centers, in Indian country, as well as all over statewide and national wide. So FFNs are the ones doing the care for the children, the majority of them. Mm-hmm. And they're really important because they share usually the same cultural and child-rearing practices of the families when they're chosen. Mm. And so they really have they have non-traditional hours sometimes, and they are the most affordable childcare. So that's why they are so important.
Wow, this does sound really important. So is there training? Do you train these guys, or do they come in with a lot of knowledge and background of you know, raising kids and raising them in a traditional way?
Both. There are some that are know more than us about traditional raising of kids, and that's why this network is so important, because they can provide information to each other. We also do provide trainings. Some other services we provide is periodic learning kits in the form of boxes which arrive to their door with items that fit into those categories that I mentioned earlier about health and safety and those items. We do a 7-module online training that they can have access to. And after completing, they can receive a $1,200 mini grant, which awards them items they may need in their home to help improve the care of the children that they serve. And our primary ages are 0 to 5, but we do serve also 6 to 12. We do a lot of services such as socializations, meetings. We do field trips. We provide education on all of those areas, again, that I mentioned, as well as childcare licensing. And we try to meet individualized needs as much as we can.
This is amazing. How long have you been doing this, and how long has this been around?
I believe the program has been here as a state network here at All Nations Rise for 4 or 5 years. I've been here for almost 2 now.
Haley, I can't believe when I hear this. This is just amazing. And Doreen, I have grandchildren now that are 8 months old, and it's so important to to let them know and be around culture, take them to places, not only just powwows, but other things in community.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Robert, you're part of that like caregiver group, really.
Yeah, being Wendy and I.
Sure you are. Most are when they're grandparents, definitely.
We're watching them 2 days a week, so and there's two of them during. So I'm tired, and Wendy's really tired. My wife when they leave.
That's why like support groups like this are so important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Hey, we want to take a quick break, and we're here with Doreen Lanoue with All Nations Rise, family, friend, and neighbor coordinator, FFN coordinator. Some really great information, as always. So hold on, and we got some more questions and some more information to give out. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you 2 go-card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the Spoon and Cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. Nearly 80% of brain growth happens in that first 1,000 days of life, and small moments of interaction like talking, playing, reading, and singing help create the pathways that build a child's brain during these early stages of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
I really love singing to our grandbabies and making special noises to make them smile. Hey, we're here with Doreen Lanoue with All Nations Rise, family, friend, and neighbor coordinator, FFN coordinator. Great to see you. And this is just a beautiful, beautiful information that you have. And one of the things I'd like to ask you is, what are some of the ways FFN can incorporate singing, playing, and reading with young children, making it fun for both the children and the caregivers? What are some of the ways?
So we, singing, playing, and reading, we all know, offers numerous benefits for young children. It supports their overall development in a fun and engaging way. If we can teach FFNs how to do that, or the tools and resources they need to be able to do more organizational scheduled things throughout the day with their children, they'll definitely learn more by playing and singing and reading and be ready for school much sooner than some other kids who don't have those activities. So,
yeah,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's so important to connect those brain muscles in that coordination of singing and hearing stories and just the inflection of your voice.
Yeah. Yeah. When they do that, they enhance problem solving skills. That helps their social skills. It helps motor skills, all kinds of things to prepare for school.
Well, how does the FFN program address the cultural needs of these Indigenous children and families?
So we do provide services, as I mentioned, those boxes, and the boxes that we send to their door that are free do include cultural kits, cultural items, games, toys, books. For example, through Nashke Games, which many people know is an award-winning company that specializes in Anishinaabe cultural language-based games. And we have been able to purchase box sets to give out to every one of our Ojibwe FFN and those who have Ojibwe children in their care. So that's been a wonderful resource we were able to give. And we plan to continue researching and finding new items all the time to send to our FFNs as cultural and language needs. And that helps regenerate the language in a small way, but in a very good way.
Yeah, we've talked about boxes. I don't know if they're the similar boxes or the same boxes, but wow, I think everybody in the tribe could use one of those boxes. Right. Really, I know I could. I need an adult one sent to my house, Haley.
I know, all ages, really.
Exactly, but that's beautiful, and I can feel the positivity come through the internet here, that it really is a really great thing for these people to get, like almost like a present when they get these boxes from you, and it has all these goodies in there that gets you excited and gets you to be able to guide these learners and young ones in a good way. Can you discuss the process of becoming legally non-licensed or licensed for FFN as a caregiver, and why is this important?
I can do it really quickly. The difference between non-licensed and legally non-licensed is the fact that they will have to do a background check. Everyone mm-hmm. over the age of 16 has to do a background check in their home, and they also have training requirements. And once you are legally non-licensed, you can receive child care assistance program payments. So this is helpful to a family if they can't afford child care to be able to get an FFN ready to do that. So we assist our FFNs with becoming legally non-licensed or licensed if they choose to, but that's their choice. And we help them in the process and advocate for them in that process.
Wow, that's really cool. Were you going to say something, Haley?
Oh, I was just going to say that's awesome. And thanks for helping them with that process and leaving it up to them to make that decision is really cool, too.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So can you discuss the program and how other FFNs connect and network with one another? And we know it's really important, but could you even amplify on how important that is?
Sure. Then again, we provide in-person and online socializations and networking events. We do. We offer trainings in those networking events and craft projects and, like I said, field trips. And we encourage participation in all these activities because it's valuable, so they're not alone and they can get support from each other and help they need on day-to-day issues, both from such as issues with child behavior, for example, that they mm-hmm. might be experiencing. They can help each other with those things and give suggestions and They can connect, share experiences, and access support from us as well.
That's amazing, and that's important no matter what you're doing, to have that support and people going through the same thing that you are. And, you know, you just need that support sometimes, and you got to make sure that you're not on an island and that you're doing things good. And 9 times out of 10, you are trusting your gut and you are doing good things, following this and following your instincts and stuff. But you need that sometimes to verify that you are doing it in a good way.
Yeah, you're right.
Thanks, Haley.
You're welcome. Well, I was just thinking too, like even coordinating with other families or other caregivers going through the program, it not only benefits the adults, but also connecting with those families. You could, if they have kids the same age, you could introduce them to each other and, you know, just build connections that way with Indigenous families and people who have the same culture as you. I think that's a cool way to build friendships as well.
Yeah. Definitely. Wow. So I guess what I would like to end this with here is to find out how people are considering maybe becoming a FFN caregiver. How can they get involved with All Nations Rise, and how can, is there a website? How can we reach out, our listeners reach out and either support this or become a FFN person?
We do have a website to get involved. You can go to allnationsrise.com and then go to the FFN page. You'll see a link to that, and then they can select register for the FFN network. Or they can call me. My number's on the website, or other staff to help them in completing the registration. It is an online survey which asks them their contact information, their tribal affiliation or that of the children, what hours they provide care, how long they've been providing care as an FFN, what resources are important to them that we may offer or maybe that we don't offer. And then their best way to contact them is in the survey as well, if they want to be contacted by phone or email or a text. And then once they become a member of the network by completing that survey, we will let them know what their next steps are. They are automatically eligible for those learning kits. And all of the information on the website, we do list resources that we've used or given out in the past so that they can see what we've done and what information might help them right away. And then we request that they complete that online 7-module training, which includes all of those areas that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, and a cultural module as well. And then once they complete that training, which is not real long, they can qualify to apply for that $1,200 mini grant that
wow.
I described.
Yes. So that's open anytime. There's no set dates. If somebody's interested now, they can jump on and start that process right away.
Yes. There's
that's
no.
Awesome.
Yep. It's an ongoing application mini grant. There's no deadline date. It goes throughout the year, just as funding allows. But we have plenty of funding right now. So we are out doing outreach constantly for more FFN providers to become members.
Wow. We're here with Doreen Lanoue with All Nations Rise, family, friend, and neighbor coordinator, FFN coordinator. And again, allnationsrise.com for more information. I just want to say you are doing such good work for our community to keep it stronger, to also keep our keep who we are alive. And that's what we talk about here, and it's so important, and your work's so important. And I just want to say a really big peeny geegee for coming on and doing all this great work.
Thank you so much. I enjoy it very much.
Right on. Well, we'll have to get you on again, and we love those boxes. We need a Ho-Chunk box sent to us somehow. Oh.
Say hi to Barb and Beth Ann for us. Thanks, Doreen. Peeny geegee.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The entire island of Puerto Rico is without power. No word on the cause. CBS's Christian Benavides has the latest.
Hotels are running on generators, and so are hospitals on the island. The governor, who was away on a personal trip, is now making his way back.
U.S. District Court Chief Judge James Boasberg says the Trump administration demonstrated a willful disregard for last month's order to stop two deportation flights to El Salvador and warned he could hold officials in contempt of court. According to CBS's Scott McFarlane,
planes weren't turned around. He's been asked declarative point blank questions in the month since, hasn't gotten answers to his questions, so he's starting a process.
When the Fed chair speaks, investors apparently listen, and Wall Street plunged when Jerome Powell said that President Trump's tariffs could present challenging conditions.
Tariffs are highly likely to generate at least a temporary rise in inflation. The inflationary effects could also be more persistent.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers beat the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Tigers today 5-1 to take that series against Detroit. Sal Frelick with his first home run of the season. Last night, it was Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah, breaking the ice, there's maybe something to be said for that. Yeah, it's just nice to get rewarded for some quality at-bats.
NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard, slowly making progress from that blood clot in his right leg. Could he be back for the playoffs? Doc Rivers.
Well, I mean, we're hopeful, you know. We're just following the protocols, and so we'll see, you know, but we don't know yet.
Badgers head football coach Luke Fickell on the search for a new left tackle after losing Kevin Haywood in spring practice to a torn ACL, out for the year.
You know, now we got to have to figure out how we're going to manage some of that and move some guys around and expect some other guys to step up, whether it's Leighton Nelson and Emerson Mandel and guys like that that got to step in.
That's Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Sheridan and Paramount Plus are proving to be a match made in ratings heaven. Sheridan's 1923 season 2 finale brought in over 14 million viewers, the most ever for the series, as people tuned in to finally see World War I hero and lion hunter Spencer Dutton come to the defense of his family's land. As a result, the show joined Landman and Tulsa King as the top three shows on Paramount Plus. The season 2 finale of 1923 also got 163 million views on social media. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will return for its 17th season in July. In a related story, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has been on for 17 seasons. In the new season, the Patty's Pub gang struggles as they are about to see their beloved bar devoured by corporate America. Admittedly, I completely forgot it was still on the air, but it is currently the longest running live action series. The new season starts July 9th on FX with shows screening on Hulu the next day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-30s. Then increasing clouds for tomorrow with showers and thunderstorms developing. Breezy with a high in the low 60s. Still some areas of rain and thunder around Friday. Mostly cloudy and a high around 60. Currently 49 degrees.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz is in the guest co-host chair with me. We go deep on Trump's constitutional crisis and is Abrego Garcia alive? We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Wow. Hey, we are here with our friend Arvina Martin, Merge Wisconsin Executive Director. And, you know, before we get down to the nuts and bolts here, you know, we've been really blasting out your favorite Ho-Chunk word here this last week. I'd just like to hear Haley say it. Haley, say it. Can you say it?
Oh, are we talking chicken?
Bagake? Yes. Bagake. Yes. We've been having fun with that. I don't think I'll ever forget it now.
No, know, right? It's a good one.
So, Arvina, in the line of that, maybe you can pick out a Ho-Chunk word of the day here for us.
Yeah. Excuse me. Haley asked if I would come up with one. And so,
wait, this is supposed to be pretend that we're rehearsed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hold on. Let me come up with a good word. Yeah. Oh, I have one.
Awesome.
Yes. excuse me. The word of the day is weedoo ting ting.
Weedoo ting ting.
Ting ting ting. The I's or the E sounds at the end are nasal. So it's kind of in the back of your throat, or almost sounds like if you pronounce like if there was another letter at the end, like if it would be like teen sort of
ting.
I exaggerated it a little bit, so like that, but like subtle.
Oh man, Arvina.
I know.
Oh, that's us urban Indians. You got us mumbling now. Oh,
wow. You dumped us on that one because right? We went outside of our animal theme.
Yeah. Oh, this one means either guitar or piano. So the ting ting part is kind of like plucking the or like hitting it in case of a piano.
Well, that's in the same line of chicken then. That's cool. I get it.
Yeah.
That was without advertising. I understand that, but I don't know. Say it again.
Weedoo ting ting.
Weedoo ting ting.
Yeah. it's a little bit hard because it's got the eyes at the end have the little tail underneath them, or the cinches, and I'm still not good at pronouncing them yet.
Did you catch that, Haley? Arvina's like, yeah, not really. I remember Arvina, I don't know if I ever told you this story. I know I've told Haley it. Years ago, I was learning how to introduce myself, and it's like, oh, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunja Hade, Hinga Dena. You know, I just said I'm Ho-Chunk, and my name is Distant Thunder. And I said that to an elder, and he said, oh, that sounds pretty good, but you sound like a little baby saying that. That is like, I think I took that as a compliment, but you sounded like a little baby.
Aw, cute. I did see, for any Ho-Chunks listening out there, that Language Department or Ho-Chunk Academy is opening up applications for the summer lessons. So that they're going to be open, I believe, the week of May 5th. Any Ho-Chunks, or I guess anybody out there that wants to learn Ho-Chunk, check out the Ho-Chunk Academy either on Facebook or on the website.
Well, they do great videos, right, Haley? Haley can introduce herself.
Yeah, that's how I learned. And then they do like reading books too, like children's books. And then it's all transcribed in Ho-Chunk. Ho-Chunk Academy is great. I've been using the Ho-Chunk mobile dictionary app for quick word searches. But I liked that you chose the word for guitar or piano, because we actually had on Vig Guitars yesterday's show. So they're an indigenous-owned guitar shop here in St. Paul.
Ting, ting. Oh, cool. I like that pluck, pluck, ting, ting. Yeah. I got my guitar over here. Can't play my guitar, but I have it. It looks cool. Maybe I should hang it on the wall.
It's hard.
Yeah. Well, hey, lot going on. I'm really, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I'm just really upset that it seems to me now nationally anyone can be really sent off to prison if Trump doesn't like them. And that's scary.
Yeah, I think that people that hear the, you know, oh, well, they were an illegal alien, they don't deserve due process anyways. They don't realize that if that person doesn't have due process, none of us do. Right. And you know, what is it the government to decide that I'm a member of MS-13? I am not. I will say that right now. Right. I'm not a member of any gang. But you know, we don't know what's coming up, and he's already talking about deporting what he calls homegrown criminals,
right,
to El Salvador, American citizens, right, deporting. It's terrifying. I will, however, use that to segue into some good news really quick.
Yes. Well, don't be quick about it. Stretch it out. Okay. We want to hear good news.
The Wisconsin elections. I haven't been on since our elections a couple weeks ago.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that, because we have a big following in Wisconsin, so let's talk this out.
Yeah, so for those who might not have heard, the election night a couple weeks ago in Wisconsin went very well for people who believe in freedom and liberty and the like. And we in Wisconsin took down Elon Musk's candidate and elected Susan Crawford to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. We also reelected Dr. Jill Underley, superintendent of public schools in Wisconsin. And Emerge, and also good news, had a 90% win rate. So our candidates did really well.
That's great. Yeah. And I know that's great to hear it from you. We've been talking about it, but what's your sense is that Wisconsinites don't like to be told what to do by a billionaire that doesn't have any skin in the game?
You know, I really wouldn't be surprised if there were some spite voters out there that did just go out and vote because they didn't like Elon Musk trying to horn in, especially with him trying to pay off voters and give $1 million checks away and give you however much money for signing a petition. But you know, I think that we did a great job in Wisconsin, of organizing like grassroots again with, non-partisan organizations as well as, the state party all kind of worked, not together because you can't work together, but worked in a way that covered a lot of ground, and you know, found a lot of people that might not be typically engaged in a spring election, involved and get people to the polls just by getting information out there about candidates and what the stakes are. And the reason I kind of segued into this is because, you know, we've protected our Supreme Court here in Wisconsin for another, until, you know, the next election, although the next several elections of Wisconsin Supreme Court justices will be of the conservative justices. So they will be playing defense and progressives can play some more offense on those seats. But, you know, we it's not one of Elon Musk's handpicked candidates who made it. And, you know, if I were Susan Crawford, I would tell everybody until the day I die that I beat the richest man in the world.
Yeah. And I have seen a TikTok where she did say that. That's the big news. You know, what else is happening is, since we've talked too, is that there was another 50-51 day of protest at the Capitals. And I saw Madison had a huge huge showing. And the Twin Cities had over 30,000 at the Capitol. I couldn't find my secret place of parking. Was totally full before I got there. It wasn't secret. And I was like, oh my God, how many people are here? And yeah, it was huge. And we got to keep that going and pressing on that. And I believe that's like a once a month kind of deal that happens.
Yeah, I am not sure. I missed the festivities, shall we say, in Madison because we were training our first weekend with our new Emerge class. So I was taking the resistance someplace else that weekend. So I missed it personally. excuse me. But it is really good to see that in-person activism and the engagement. And, you know, I'd like to encourage our, you know, white friends, this is a really great time to use your privilege and go to these events and you know, keep your eyes on situations that could be happening. There are people that are afraid of being seen publicly right now. Mm-hmm. And because of all of the things that we have talked about, you know, being trafficked to El Salvador, right. You know, that being someplace public, protesting and fighting the fight is not something that they can do. So think about that. Think about how you can use your privilege in this fight that we are currently facing.
Such a good point, really good point. And we got like a minute left here in this segment. I'm going to ask you too. One of my favorite politicians, or two of my favorite politicians, are campaigning in a sense across the country, and maybe we can talk a little bit about them and what's going on with the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Hey, we are here with Arbina Martin. And she's executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, and 90% candidates won in this last round, and the proof's in the pudding. So we are so excited to have you and talk about Emerge. We'll talk about Emerge too after this short break.
Stay with us.
This is Native Roots Radio, and we're here with Arbina and Haley. We'll be right back. It's the Ho-Chunk Hour. Ho-wa!
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a 2-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Summer is fast approaching. How will your teens spend their days? Reconnecting Our Roots is a unique opportunity for Native American teenagers from the Twin Cities area. Students will engage in cultural activities and learn about Native histories rooted through Minnesota Makoche in a welcoming environment. The summer session runs July 14th through the 18th at the Minnesota History Center, and a stipend is available for those who attend each day. Learn more and apply now at mnhs.org/NEI.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Ow. Oh! Hey, we are here with our friend Arvina Martin in Emerge, Wisconsin, executive director, and great work again, and congratulations. When we do stuff, we do stuff, and you're a doer, Arvina, and we really appreciate you being on and talking about things that are happening in Wisconsin, because we have a big following in Wisconsin. We're on Civic Media and all those stations, and of course, so we're really proud to have you. And I don't know if you get people reaching out, but I know I have people contacting me about you specifically, and when you're on. So it's great to have you on.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. Thank you.
is there crying in radio? Yes, there is. I've cried before. Yes.
Don't call out on it.
Yeah.
Time.
Oh, exactly. Hey, I just left our last part there. I want to talk a little bit about AOC and Bernie's tour, and then I want to really talk about Emerge again by the end of the show, so we can get people signing up and also talking about how you can support Emerge Wisconsin.
Yeah. So I'm actually really excited to see Senator Sanders and Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez on the road. You know, there's so many people that want to feel heard. And I believe that for a lot of people, Senator Sanders and Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez are two people who make people feel like they are being heard. And so, you know, I'm glad that they are able to go around, and there's my cat for people watching online. Sorry, you might have seen his tail earlier. But there are so many there's so many people that feel disillusioned right now. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that as Democrats that we are trying to engage people who are feeling, you know, like they are not being heard, but also that, you know, they feel neglected, they feel estranged from what's going on, not estranged, but just feeling that disconnect and realizing that the things that they thought were going to help them aren't going to help them and mm-hmm. are actively going to be harming them. We need to figure out how we engage those folks so that they feel heard as well, mm-hmm. because I mean, it's clear that their guy isn't listening to them right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I really feel a kinship. I really supported Bernie the first time around and also the second time around. And we had his wife on the show, and AOC for me is a kindred spirit, because we started this show because of the lack of information coming out of Standing Rock during the Standing Rock Water is Life, Mini Wiconi thing that lasted at Standing Rock Tribe in 2016 and 17. And she was there and made a decision to run for office being at Standing Rock. So I always feel kind of a kinship with her.
You know, I had not heard that story. I didn't know that she had gone out there.
Yep.
But that is really cool. And I absolutely understand that feeling, like that connection of such a remarkable shared experience that you got to experience.
Yeah. And we started the show, and then hearing that myself, I was just like, wow, right on. And the lack of making money off the stock market, and people can't call her or Bernie out for that. And I appreciate that so much that they're not doing their own inside trading, like which happened just recently with Trump, you know, telling all of his friends that he's going to lift the tariffs and, you know, all that that went down. This is just a, you know, we can't forget any of these things. And it was hard because it's so much. And I know, I think his first presidency, there was over like 50,000 lies that he had.
And, oh, yeah.
And so he just bombards us with these lies as if they're true. But that's swing into, because we only got a few minutes here, let's swing into Emerge Wisconsin and talk about past Emerge candidates and what the organization, for people that are just listening for the first time, what the organization does and stands for, and how successful it's been. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Emerge Wisconsin is a part of a larger national Emerge network. We have affiliates across the country. So even if you don't live in Wisconsin, check out emergeamerica.org and you can see if there is one in your state. We also have national boot camps and signature trainings that we put up. That are virtual and available for women and non-binary folks who feel comfortable in female-centered spaces. And we can train you on how to run for office. And as I mentioned, we had a number of candidates on the ballot and in our last election, and our alums won at a rate of 91%. So that was really, really exciting. I love it. And, you know, we actually had swearing in of new, like last Tuesday, of at least the Madison area city council. And one of our, we have two alums that were, or actually three alums that were sworn in, one who was being sworn in for the first time, the other two were reelected. And a second alum was just named the council president. So we're pretty excited about that too. So Regina Vitiver is now the Madison, Wisconsin Common Council president.
So being executive director, how does that make you feel? That's amazing.
It's a really great feeling because, you know, a lot of the women I, you know, am able to develop relationships with and am able to, you know, like, so that I know them. It's not just that they're alums, but they're people I know as well and people I care about. And it's always, it's like you can feel the sun shine a little brighter. Mm-hmm. Because people that you know that were selected because they're awesome and because they're good at their jobs and because they care and authentically themselves, you know, it's different kinds of leadership that we have from all different parts of the state. And especially when things are so rough right now. And mm-hmm. like, as you said, it feels like everything is coming at us, you know, so fast and just we're being bombarded. It's lovely to have these rays of light break through the clouds, you know?
Wow. Yeah, it is. And do you feel like you birthed somebody when you see them win and become the person that they wanted to be and could become, those kind of things?
Oh, absolutely. It's a kind of maternal feeling, actually. Yeah.
I can imagine. I kind of feel that way just by talking.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, legal issues continue surrounding the man deported to El Salvador. Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The entire island of Puerto Rico is without power. CBS's Chris John Benavides.
Puerto Rico is used to outages like this. They're still trying to investigate how this could have happened. Officials are working to get power back within the next few days.
A federal judge says he's found probable cause to hold the Trump administration in criminal contempt of court for violating his orders to turn around deportee planes and could refer the matter for prosecution. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
They violated his order in mid-March when he said, do not deport those Venezuelans using the Alien Enemies Act.
President Trump meets with Japanese officials at the White House for tariff talks. Japan's prime minister now says trade talks with the U.S. won't be easy. CBS's Wei Jiang.
President Trump has made clear that he is looking for deals if, in his words, they are phenomenal to the U.S., and certainly if they can reduce the trade deficit with certain countries, Japan being one of them.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
James here, host of